Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. On today's show, we're excited to welcome Renee Vidal. Renee is a six-time NCAA championship tennis coach turned leadership expert. He works with leaders, teams, and organizations who want to create cultures of high performance, resilience, and execution. Well, I'm so excited to have my friend Renee Vidal here this morning with us. Renee and I have known each other for a little bit of time now and have read several of your books. And he's a multi-time author and just a good friend and is a coach. So, Renee, tell us a little bit about you growing up and your family and then kind of a segue into how you got into tennis.
Sure. Well, first, Lisa, thank you for having me. You know, I absolutely am a huge fan of yours. Your spirit is contagious. Your commitment to excellence is recognized, not only here in St. Louis and in Missouri, but nationally, and I know globally as well. So it's awesome to be here. My story really started when I was 5 years old. My dad put a tennis racket in my hand, introduced me to this wonderful sport of tennis, this amazing sport. I played my first tennis tournament when I was seven, and I lost 6-0, 6-0. It did not go well, but I had a dad who believed in me, and he surrounded me with some great teachers and great coaches. And by the time I was 12, I was nationally ranked in the country. I was traveling throughout the U.S. from Chicago to San Diego to North Carolina to Florida. And it was a great experience. And then a year later, my dad, who actually was an entrepreneur, his business was in commercial printing. He was also a diabetic. And unfortunately, when you have a work ethic like my dad had and you have this health challenge, when you combine them with being a workaholic, things don't always turn out, you know, in the best way. So that was tough. That's when, you know, I started asking questions around leadership, started asking questions around, you know, how do you continue on this path that you were put on at a very young age, this path of high performance, this path of becoming the best that you can absolutely be. I mean, my dad was Hispanic, you know, in a time where there were not a lot of Hispanic entrepreneurs, you know, building their own businesses, and he did it very successfully, you know, so he was my hero. And that's really where the game for me started with him. And my mom was there as well, and she was a great influence in the background. But it all started with my dad.
I mean, you kind of bring up a good point. I mean, you love business today. You've transitioned your tennis more into business. So you got both of those loves, really, from your dad. Your dad obviously was pushing you to be excellent. Did you ever question that, or did that ever get tiresome to you, Renee?
That's a great question. So my dad was born in 1926. So I'm the product of a second marriage. So I joke around and say, look, you know, not all divorce is bad, right? It actually worked out for me. So he was old school. You know, I mean, you think about coaches like Vince Lombardi and some of those guys in the NFL. My dad didn't play around too much. So I didn't have too many questions growing up for my dad. It was really, I mean, he was a stickler on remaining positive while you're competing, competing with class, competing fairly. And if he felt that, you know, I sort of strayed from the path, I would definitely hear about it. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So, no, I mean, for me, it was who I was designed to be. I mean, from the beginning, I felt like the seeds were planted very, very early in my life. I mean, I also went to private school starting, you know, in pre-K, I believe. So, you know, my dad had a specific vision for my life, from tennis to education, even going so far as to not teach me how to speak Spanish, which, even though he was a visionary, wasn't perfect, right? If you look at our culture today and you look at society and how things have changed on a global level, how I would love to, you know, be fluent in Spanish to this day.
Sure. Well, I love that. And I'm just thinking about, for you today, one of the things that you talk about with leaders is, you know, a lot of people have the desire to win, but a lot of people do not have the will to prepare. And that is something, obviously, your dad really taught you at a very young age, that to win, you've got to prepare. And sometimes it's that really the journey of getting there, right? Not necessarily the destination is what's really important.
Well, I think you hit it right in the head or on the sweet spot, so to speak, to use a tennis analogy. You know, I mean, I grew up literally, we lived in Queens, New York. My dad's business was in Brooklyn. Every single morning, we would commute from our home in Queens to, we called it the shop in Brooklyn. And the school bus would pick me up in front of my dad's business. I'd go to school and I'd be dropped off back at the business. So every single day I had the opportunity to see my dad's work ethic, to see how he interacted with his team, to see how he interacted with clients, and to see this business grow. And in fact, I mean, I literally, my routine, my winning habit after school was to use one of the walls in, you know, in the business to play tennis up against. I mean, that's how I honed many of my tennis skills at that young age. So I was in a culture of winning and of high performance from the beginning.
There's just so much packed in there. The other thing that you've said that I really love is that obviously your dad had a vision for his business, but he had a vision not just for his own life, he had a vision for your life.
Look, I mean, you know, the old book says without a vision, the people perish, right? So I think everything starts with a vision. So here's the trick though. Yes, my dad had a vision for my life, but I think all of us need to understand that we need to come to a point where the vision is our own. And whatever we decide to do, whatever direction we decide to move toward, that it comes from something that's deep within us, something that we see, something that we believe is possible. But you're absolutely right. I mean, a lot of times it starts extrinsically. You know, mm-hmm. It starts with someone else in your life who expresses faith in you, who expresses their belief, their confidence in you. And I've been fortunate to have many of those people pop up. It's funny how that works, right? You know, at different stages in your life who just speak into you and invest time in you. And investing what they see, you mm-hmm. know, and I think that's what a great coach does. That's what a great CEO does, what a great parent does, whatever role or whatever hat that you're wearing at the time, to be able to empower those around you and help them see something that they might not see fully, help them see it a little bit clearer, is just a game changer.
Yes. Oh, wow. We could spend a lot of time unpacking that. So tell me about the jump. When did you jump more into business and business coaching? Tell me a little bit about that transition, if you would.
You know, about 10 years ago, I was the head coach at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. So that's what brought our family to the Missouri Valley region. It really started there. I just had the inkling, you know, I think as a coach, you typically, when you're highly passionate, you're looking forward to the day-to-day. You're looking forward to the practices. You're looking forward to recruiting, you know, which is sales. You're looking forward to making those calls and building those relationships so you can keep your talent pipeline mm-hmm. full, mm-hmm. you know, and you can build towards that vision that you have for your program. And I wasn't feeling it anymore. I started to feel, I think, a little bit boxed in just being in a university and college environment. And I look back on it as a time where my entrepreneurial roots started to take shape, where I really wanted to make my own decisions. I really wanted to be more selective around the people that I surrounded myself with, be they clients, friends, whomever. It was just time to fly. And what I say, you know, once you turn down entrepreneurial road, There is no turning
back. There's no turning back.
There's no turning back, for good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you charge ahead with that vision, as you mentioned, and with the passion around what your greatest talents and your strengths are. And you look, I think most importantly, for as many ways as possible to bring your unique genius and your talent to as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it started. It started in 2007. You know, I officially launched around 2011, 2012. And it's been it's a slow build.
It's a slow build,
It's
right.
been an incredible learning curve. For me, it all starts with creativity, I think, as a writer. I mean, I'm a writer and teacher first. And if I'm doing those things well, then I'm able to serve more people, I think, in a more powerful way.
I've heard that a lot from different people. And it doesn't mean that everything that you do in life, don't you think it builds on each other? When you were doing that in Carbondale, you were doing the best that you could do, right? You were doing everything with excellence. You were learning. You were gleaning as much as you can. And it just, I think, prepares you for the next step along the way.
You're absolutely right. You know, they say it's not so important to be great to start, but it's absolutely vital to start to be great. You know, the commitment to lifelong learning, which I think is one of your true pillars, you know, how mm-hmm. you approach your life, how you approach your work, is key, because if you're on that continual learning path, then different doors are going to open up and some doors are going to close.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to figure it all out in the moment. You just have to keep moving forward with your faith, with your belief system, with the vision that you have for who you want to be, for the vision that you have for the impact that you want to make on your people, the people that, you know, your best to serve in mm-hmm. your unique way.
I love that. So we talked a little bit about this, but, you know, for the listeners out there that are starting to kind of feel a little bit of that, what I would consider restlessness, don't you think, Renee, that it's so important to understand for the listeners out there that may be feeling that? Every job that you do, so being the head women's coach in Carbondale, you learned a lot of things that you're carrying forward with you. Now, everything is almost like a stepping stone, building on one another. Don't you think, no matter what it is, whatever job that you're learning, there's things that you can glean that you can take forward with you?
Absolutely. I think it begins with committing yourself to being a lifelong learner. Because if you do that, then you're going to approach every situation, every person, every circumstance with an open heart and an open mind. And when you come from that place, that's where, you know, all possibilities exist. And you're not always going to be able to see around the corner. But I think the more important thing is to continue to move. You know, even if you're on the right road, mm-hmm. you'll get run over if you're standing still. You know, I think for me, the principle of proactivity, of always taking initiative, you know, of swinging in the racket or you know, taking a cut if you're, you know, at the ball, if you're a baseball player, you got to be in movement, you got to be in motion, and you're going to make mistakes. I mean, you look at the best tennis players in the world, they're winning tennis matches and winning the most important tournaments and making a ton of what we call unforced errors, a mm-hmm. ton of mistakes. But, you know, they're also hitting winners and also figuring out the mental side of the game, and they're doing other things to offset those errors. So it's not a game of perfection. It's a game of success and just figuring out what works best for you.
I like that. And talk a little bit about, you mentioned the word mistake, but, you know, you've got to try, right? And you're not going to win every time. But talk a little bit about that. What's the importance of at least trying?
Well, if you're not failing, you're not trying, right? If you're yeah. not failing, you're not trying. Look, I mean, I grew up in tennis. You know, there's a net and there's lines. And if you hit the ball in the net, you lose the point. If you hit the ball outside the lines, you lose the point. There are clear consequences. But I think the best athletes, whether you're in sports or in business, mm-hmm. understand that mistakes are inherent to the game. And you have to decide what kind of player you want to be. And if you want to be the best player you can possibly be, you're going to learn from those mistakes and try to correct them as quickly as possible and continue to move forward.
Great advice. So tell us a little bit about your goal. You have a goal, a pretty big, hairy, audacious goal of meeting or reaching 1 million leaders. Talk to us a little bit about that. Talk to us about the origins of that vision that you had, and then how are you going to achieve that?
At Vidal Training Group, our mission is to impact 1 million leaders worldwide by year end 2023. I think the origin started with myself. I mean, we've talked about the importance of having winning habits. But the thing about winning habits, habits follow whatever vision you put out in front of you. You know, I went through a period, you know, ironically, they say, you know, whatever it is you want to teach, you end up having to study it pretty hard first and foremost. And as I was doing research, which you so kindly took part of for the new book on winning habits, from morning routines to how you interact and motivate your team, I just realized that, gosh, there were so many little things that I was doing that were not moving myself forward personally, were not serving my business and the people around me. So I needed to set something, you know, a goal that was going to help me jump out of bed literally every single morning. You know, a 5 to 7 year vision that was inspiring to me. You know, it's inspiring to our company. It's not so much, it does, you know, your mission doesn't have to be inspiring for other people. It's yours, right? Mm-hmm. And it just resonated with me because I believe in creating value on as many different platforms as possible. You know, impacting 1 million leaders worldwide, that doesn't just come from selling books. Mm-hmm. It doesn't come from giving seminars and speaking engagements. And it certainly doesn't come from one-on-one coaching. You'll be doing one-on-one coaching for the rest of your life. Right. You're trying to impact 1 million
24
leaders.
24 hours a day.
Exactly. I mean, so for me, I wanted to create a mission that was going to allow me to play in a lot of different areas where we could excel. And it's been working. You know, it's moving along at a good pace.
I want to pick up on something that you said that I think is so important. You said that what you did a self-evaluation, and you saw that there were some things that you were doing or you were participating in that were not moving the needle for where you wanted to go. So talk a little bit about that. I think it's so important to do that, right?
When I started looking at my routines, I mean, for years, I've been a 5 a.m. guy where I wake up early. And we've talked about morning routines, and I love your morning routine. And every time I think about morning routines, I think about Lisa Nichols. But I mean, for me, it was actually, I became overly ambitious with how many things I wanted to accomplish in the morning before the kids got up. You know, I mean, realistically, you can only do 2 or 3 things between 5 and 7 in the morning.
Right.
And I wanted to do 10 things. And I was fighting with myself to get all these things done. And by 7 o'clock, I was actually more stressed than in a flow and really high energy state. So it started with my morning routine. I think that was number one for me personally. And number two, and this is sort of embarrassing to say, but you know, as an athlete and someone who's been committed to fitness for as
Your
long as
life.
I can remember for my entire life, I mean, I kind of let it go. You know, I let my diet go. You know, I put on 10 to 15 pounds about 2 years ago and just wasn't feeling good. And you feel it in your productivity. You feel it in your attitude and your self-esteem. And those were the two things I really needed to get control over and say, okay, what's going to work for me? And I figured it out.
Make some adjustments.
You know, make some adjustments, starting with the mission. You know, what's going to help you jump out of bed in the morning? And then once you're up and ready to go, what is that morning going to look like for you? How can you start the day like a champion every single day so you can bring your best self to others?
Great advice. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with Renee. Hey everyone, I want to tell you about something so cool going on right now in the Nichols household. Allie, our wonderful daughter and the inspiration for Something Extra, is competing in the Dancing with the St. Louis Stars event this January. Allie will be the Something Extra for the night and we need your help. Please go to lisagailnichols.com/vote, watch a video of Allie's story, and get all the links to vote. Each vote is $10, and you can vote as many times as you like. All of the proceeds support the Independence Center, a community-based rehabilitation program for adults with severe and persistent mental illnesses. This is a fantastic organization, and voting for Allie is a great way to support the important work they are doing. And we want Allie to win. Pause the show, go over to lisagailnichols.com/vote, and join Team Allie. So talk to me a little bit, Renee. We had said sometimes you have to eliminate some things or make adjustments. And I know in your latest book, Execute to Win,
one of the things that you say that is a failure sometimes, or why leaders fail to execute, is because they have so many things that they're wanting to do. The objectives, you can't have 10 different initiatives that you're wanting to do this quarter. And you're a big quarter guy, aren't you?
Yes.
I mean, planning for a quarter, I mean, you can have that 3 to 5, 7 year plan. But I like that because we're the same way at Technology Partners. We plan in 12 week increments. What are we going to get done this quarter? What are we going to get done this month? What are we committing to as our top 10s? So talk to me a little bit about that, because obviously you have interviewed some leaders and you've seen, like, if they've got too many things, it's better to have fewer things, right, and execute on those well.
So I have two stories there. The first is Don Shula and the second is tennis. And I mention it in that order so you don't let me forget, right?
Okay.
So, you know, when Don Shula was hired to coach the Miami Dolphins back in the late 60s, they had a press conference in Miami, and the media asked him, they said, hey, coach, what's your 3 to 5 year plan? And he said, you know what? I don't have a 3 to 5 year plan. My plan is day to day. And that's always stuck with me. Now, understand that Shula had a vision, and he had a vision of perfection. And he said, if you don't strive for perfection, you can never reach excellence. So this isn't about not having a vision, but it was much more. His response to the media was, what's going to make the difference is how we execute on a day-to-day basis, what our practices look like. Because in the NFL, and the 2018 season has just started, guess what? Every team has the same goal, which is to qualify for the playoffs, qualify for the Super Bowl, and walk home with the Lombardi Trophy. So the vision doesn't make these teams different. What makes the teams different is what they achieve on a day-to-day basis and the way they achieve those goals. The second story, it's simply, you know, if we're working together in a tennis coaching relationship, I mean, how would you feel as the student if you come out at the beginning of a lesson and we've got 30 minutes to work together, and the coach says, hey, we're actually going to work on 6 different things today. You're going to learn how to hit the forehand. Then I'm going to teach you the proper grip for the serve. And then after that, we're going to bring you up to the net. And we're going to teach you the forehand volley and the backhand volley. And then after that, we're going to talk about the importance of tactics and strategy. You would be so overwhelmed.
I'd already feel defeated.
You'd already feel defeated.
Yes.
Exactly. And if you're smart, you'd fire your coach right away, right, and go find somebody else.
Right.
But, you know, in order to have an effective, a high-performance practice session, whether you're on the tennis court or in business, you've got to identify those vital few objectives. I mean, the question that's really helped me, and I think it's helping, you know, my corporate clients, is going into every scenario asking, what's our outcome here? You know, we're recording a podcast right now. Well, what's the outcome for the podcast? You know, we're heading into a meeting with a prospective client. What's our outcome? What's the outcome from their perspective? What's our outcome as a service provider, as an entrepreneur, as a business? Being really clear about that end game, how you want this match, so to speak, to end is key. That should drive everything that goes into the time that you spend together.
That is a great question that we should all be asking ourselves before every engagement, I believe. So, great advice. Tell us a little bit about something extra. You have coached thousands of students, college athletes, now business athletes, if you will. Tell us maybe a couple stories of where you saw something extra in one of those people that you've coached.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, recruiting at the college level was a joy for me. I always loved selling someone on the university, you know, that you were affiliated with, and the culture that you were trying to create. As a recruiter, you travel around the country to these junior tennis events, you know, trying to find the right fit, so to speak, right? Trying to, you know, see who you want to hire and bring on your team. When I think about something extra, I mean, what I looked for in that role as a head coach and recruiter was poise. Absolute poise under pressure. You know, the questions that I was asking, and I think the questions that a lot of my buddies ask at that level is, how does this person respond to mistakes? how do they respond when things aren't going their way? Do they maintain their poise or do they lose their temper? I think how you conduct yourself as an athlete, as a leader, CEO, again, in whatever role that you're in, just speaks so much about who you are as a person, what your belief level is, and what your vision for, you know, what that outcome truly is for you. And your ability to keep your eyes on the ball, so to speak, will make the difference at the end of the day. So I think poise is number one, but another word that comes to mind is presence. But presence, not how I think we hear a lot today about the importance of being aware, which is key, and how vital it is to be in the moment. But the presence I'm talking about is the presence when you walk in a room, how that room changes. So I feel like when I coached at the college level, and hopefully, you know, I bring a little bit of this now, you know, to my clients and the people that I work with, is, you know, when you're interacting with someone, it's about changing the game. Whenever I stepped on a university campus with a new team, it was all about, look, it doesn't matter what happened in the past. You know, we've come together for a reason, and that reason is to figure out a way to win and to optimize our potential. And that's exactly what we're going to do. That will happen. You call it forth before it actually happens. And I think presence is that something extra where people, they can feel it. And you raise the level of belief actually before day one, or you wouldn't get the job, right? Mm. I mean, you know, in college coaching, you got to sell the AD, sell the athletic director that you're the right person. So there's sort of that pre-sales process. But then when you meet with the actual people that you're going to be working with and developing, from the first moment they see your face and they see how you walk and they listen to how you talk, you need to be speaking the language of high performance, the language of winning, and painting that picture of how you're going to succeed.
Oh, I really love that. Well, talk about even in some of the contemporaries out there where you have seen something extra missing.
Funny that you asked that question. Well, I think what's gone viral over the last couple of weeks is the U.S. Open Women's Final with Serena Williams. Let's just get it out there up front. Serena Williams is the GOAT. She's the greatest of all time. She really is a fantastic role model on and off the court. But in that final that we saw a couple of weeks ago, you know, unfortunately, she took her eye off the ball. I mean, her vision of becoming the very, very best, sort of cementing that legacy, and that's defined as number of Grand Slams won, that's what she's after, that's Serena's outcome right now, was blurred, you know, by the challenge that she was facing that was in front of her, which was this young, very competitive, very dynamic young lady, Osaka, who was playing some really good tennis. You know, unfortunately, Serena got distracted. You know, she lost her focus, which is something we talk about in Execute to Win, just the importance of maintaining your focus, making sure you've got your priorities in order, and that's where your attention is going. Things didn't work out for her.
What do you think is something extra that every leader needs?
One word is belief. And I think belief, not only in yourself, but the ability to transfer belief. I think the ability to empower others, that's the something extra for a leader. Because if you can't empower the people around you, you know, success, not only is it a journey, but it's a team sport. You know, teamwork is the essence of life, and no one succeeds on their own. Look, as entrepreneurs, we're not lacking for ideas, right? There's so many different things that we want to do, and they're great intentions. But if you don't have the right people around you, starting with your family, starting with your friends, and having that support system, it's going to be, it doesn't mean you're not going to accomplish what you want, but I think the road's going to be a lot tougher, and the length of time, it's going to take a lot longer, and it's not going to be as fulfilling.
So the ability to transfer that belief to other people and empower those people, because you cannot, let's face it, we cannot do it all on our own. It needs to be a team effort. We always say together, everyone achieves more, is kind of what we say around technology partners. And it's so true. And every person on that team is vital to making it all work.
Absolutely. And you and I, we've talked about leadership, not only from the day-to-day operational approach, but the spiritual aspects of leadership, right? I don't think you can ignore, regardless of whatever your religious badge is or whatever your background is, you know, the essence of leadership is about maximizing someone's potential and figuring out the best ways to communicate that so that potential is realized. And, you know, I mean, one of my favorite quotes from, you know, the old book is that the kingdom of God is within you. Now, as a leader, you know, you can interpret that in any which way that you want, right? I tend to believe that that's true, but it doesn't end there. My goal as a leader, my responsibility as a leader is to recognize that truth in others.
Other people.
And to honor that truth in others and to help other people realize the potential that they have within them. And then if I'm doing my job well, I'm helping them to unlock that potential.
Right. I think that's a great definition of success, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's how you improve the world. That's how you impact, whether it's 1 million, 2 million, 3 million leaders, you know, around the world. You do it just like you play tennis. One point at a time, one person at a time, being with the person that's in front of you. Everybody should leave an interaction with you with a little bit of higher confidence than what they came in with. And I think if you can do that as a leader, then you're really doing
that's
a great job.
That's your sweet
job.
Spot. That's the sweet spot. That you're aiming for.
That's the name of the next book, right?
Yes.
The Sweet Spot.
Is there anything that you're excited about? I mean, you did just launch your newest book, Execute to Win. I would highly recommend everyone go out and get a copy of it. It's great. What I love about that, and I've told Renee, is at the end of every chapter, he gives you next steps. So it's things that you can really contemplate and think about, even with your team. You could use that as a just a professional development for your team even. But are there other things that you're excited about that you want to tell our listeners about?
Yeah, I think as our seminar business is growing, what I'm really excited, I mean, I'm excited about that aspect because, you know, I love to teach, I love to speak, and I love to meet new people. The greatest thing that I'm looking forward to is developing new relationships with people who truly care about high performance. I mean, I've always said, even when I was in tennis full time and working with some of the top athletes in the country, my passion is working with individuals and teams and companies that truly care about high performance. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever that looks like for them, I'm excited about that. I mean, I really believe that there's so many good people out there that want to maximize their potential and make an impact in the world. And you know, you start with leadership development. I mean, self-leadership precedes team leadership. So if you're not developing yourself, you're not going to be able to give as much to others. But I think for me, it's just all the people that are out there that I'll have the opportunity to meet, whether it's through the book or through my speaking engagements. That's what I'm most excited about.
Well, they need to meet you because they will be better because of it.
Well,
so
thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And we will see you next time.
Our show today is executive produced by Brian Muncy. Our technical producer is Daniel Williams. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2018. For show notes or to reach out to Lisa, visit lisagailnichols.com/somethingextra. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen.